an interesting visit to the Kingdom Hall. This is the JW Review. So today, on Sunday, I visited a Kingdom Hall, and this is the second time in the past month I went. Last week we had a snowstorm, and so they canceled the services, so this is the second time. And on that first time, that was maybe the first time I had been to a Kingdom Hall in, oh gosh, it's probably been years. Since I've been to one. So a friend had started going because he was invited, and so he invited me to go, and so I've been going with him ever since. Today was really, really interesting, and so I kind of want to talk about just the turn of events that happened today that were actually really unexpected, because this turn of events, which I'm about to describe, usually takes a little bit longer, although the turn of events was relatively unique. But the sort of thing that I'm about to describe has happened before, just in a, they took a different approach. So what exactly happened? Well, we went into the Kingdom Hall, did the usual thing. They had the public talk, I guess that's what this was called. They had that, and then they had studying this particular watchtower, and went through that just as usual. And so at the end, you know, there were some people that would come up to me, my friend, and they would introduce themselves to us, and you know, very warmly introducing themselves and just having some very brief small talk. Well, of course, when they would ask me, my friend, what we thought, we would say, well, we thought it was interesting, and we have some questions. We have a lot of questions about what you guys talked about and what we saw in your Watchtower magazine. But here's the interesting thing, and I'll back up just a little bit. So when we got there, we sat next to an older lady, and she comes alone because her husband is a Baptist, but she seems to be a well-seasoned Jehovah's Witness in that she's been a Jehovah's Witness for a while. We get in there, we sit next to her, of course, say, hey, how you doing? She welcomed us. It wasn't but maybe a minute, maybe. This was right before the meeting started. Some guy came up to her and said, hey, I need to speak with you for a moment. So we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. So she gets up, and this is a minute before the meeting started. She gets up, walks away, and then comes back maybe a few minutes later and says to me and my friend, hey, I've got to go. And she picks up her stuff and leaves, and we're like, what's going on? Why is she getting up and leaving? Hope everything's okay. So we assume that she actually left the meeting altogether because maybe something happened. Fact of the matter is she actually went to sit in the back. So me and my friend, we're up in, I think, the second row. No one else is in the row with us. No one is in the row in front of us. That lady, you know, no longer next to us either. So we're up there all alone, which is fine. So we get to the end of the meeting, and so as people are introducing themselves to us, not even a minute goes by before someone, I think is usually a guy, a different guy, every time comes up to us, asks the person who we're speaking to they say, can I see you for a minute? So they take that person, they take them away, and we're like, what's going on? Now, that's kind of weird, but you know, we shrug it off, and we don't know what's going on. So we go up to another couple or person, and it seems to be actually women, usually older women, who are kind of coming up to us and introducing themselves to us, and that's fine. But again, it doesn't take a minute to go by before some gentleman takes that woman, takes them aside. They say, can you excuse us for a second? So we're like, what is going on? This happens probably 6 to 8 times, maybe. Doesn't matter who we're talking to. Someone comes up and takes that person away before we can get into any type of meat of a conversation where we're actually discussing details. Because I remember one lady, she was sitting down. We were standing up, and she told us that, you know, she needed a wheelchair. So that's why she can't stand up. All fine and well. So we're talking to her, and she starts to go into how everything Jehovah's Witnesses teach is from the Bible, and, you know, we're like, well, that's really interesting, because in this magazine, it talks about 1919, and we'd really like to know how you determine that belief from the Bible. And she goes, oh, you guys have got to talk to my husband. He would love to do a study with you, and he's away right now. He's going to get my wheelchair, and he'll be back in just a second. He would love to talk to you. So we're like, oh, that's great. We would love to talk to him as well. So he comes, and he basically says, honey, we got to go. And we're like, what's going on? So we shake his hand and introduce ourselves, but he's just like, we've got to go. And she's like, oh, but he's like, we got to go. So he basically puts her in the wheelchair, and they are off, and we're just like, this is so weird. What is going on? So anyway, this happens time and time again, and eventually everyone, this 20 minutes later maybe, or however long it took everyone to kind of get out of the Kingdom Hall and everyone go home. But by the time everyone's kind of leaving and going home, we're like, well, I guess we need to leave too, because we're kind of standing around just kind of waiting for someone to come up to us and talk to us, and that was happening less and less. So anyway, we get out to the parking lot, and me and my friend are just standing by our car, just talking to each other about just various topics that were discussed at the meeting, and which we always do after the meeting. And so a couple drives up next to us, and they introduce themselves to us, and we're like, oh, this is great. You know, we can maybe have a conversation here. Well, it turns out that this couple that just drove up next to us, they weren't actually a part of that meeting time that we were at. We were at the 1 p.m., and I think they were at the 4 p.m., but they had come early for some odd reason. And so I guess they weren't in on whatever was going on, like why all these people were getting taken away from us. So with this couple, you know, they started to ask us what we thought of the meeting. And of course, we say the same thing. We're like, well, we thought it was interesting. And they actually asked us, what did you like about the meeting? And then what did you think was kind of off? And which I was glad they asked us that, because I don't want to just tell people it was all bad, because actually the intro, the public talk, was on the inspiration of the Bible and how the Bible is a divine book. And so for the most part, me and my friend agreed with that, because they were talking about fulfilled prophecy and all this, and how the Bible is a reliable guide to morals and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we were saying, yeah, you know, the first public talk was actually pretty good. We found a lot that we agreed with, and I talked about fulfilled prophecy, and I went into a little more detail, and they were pretty impressed by that, that we were really in agreement. And then we talked about kind of the things that we were not so much in line with, to put it nicely. So we started to talk a little bit about how this particular Watchtower article talked about the governing body and the faithful slave, and what else, in 1919 and things like that. And so they were pretty intrigued that we were asking these questions, and so they were like, yeah, let's talk about that. And so we actually started to get into some of these topics with them. And so the first thing that this, it was a couple, so it was a woman and a man, and she started to go into how the faithful slave is the 144,000, and that's not the first time a Jehovah's Witness at that particular Kingdom Hall said that. And so I didn't want to just come out and say, you know, you're wrong or whatever. I was like, I was trying to put it kind of nicely and not too confrontationally, just so they're not too suspicious of me. But I tried to say, are you sure about that? Because I thought the faithful slave refers exclusively to the governing body. So she's like, no, the faithful slave, the anointed class is a faithful slave. And I'm like, well, I thought that a couple years ago in a Watchtower study edition that they talked about a change in that belief. And so I'm just trying to kind of introduce this stuff to her, because I'm kind of prefacing it by saying, you know, I could be wrong, you know, if you can show me where your literature teaches this, I'm happy to be corrected. But I thought I read that the faithful slave is the governing body. And so after going back and forth a little bit on that, she started to get out her phone and look this up. And, you know, before you know it, she's like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. You taught me something today. Thank you. And so she's actually really appreciative that I showed her these things, as opposed to being suspicious, because I find that some Jehovah's Witnesses are getting suspicious of me when I kind of point these things out, like I'm trying to be confrontational or put them in their place, but I'm really just trying to kind of make sure that they know what they believe on this so that we can be on the same page, so we don't have to backpedal and figure all this stuff out, so that we can really get to the heart of the issue. So we get through that to where they're finally agreeing with me, and then we go into the governing body and that whole concept. And it just turns out they didn't really know a lot about these as far as how to find the stuff in the Bible. They have to kind of go to their literature. They're kind of scrambling a little bit to try to find these concepts so they can explain it to me, which that's fine. So they go to Acts chapter 15 to show that's the governing body. And I kind of come back with them in saying that, well, this is actually, to me, it looks like to be an isolated example to where you have a controversy and that you have the apostles and the elders of the Jerusalem church meeting together to resolve a controversy. And so I told them, you know, that's fine. If Christians want to get together to resolve a controversy, I think that's fully biblical because we see that as an example in the book of Acts. So, but I told them, that's one example. The concept of the governing body is not a governing body that only meets occasionally to resolve a dispute. That's not what the governing body is. And so I tried to kind of explain that to them and ask them some probing questions. But at the end of the day, their defense of the governing body was more pragmatic. And by pragmatic, I mean that they're holding to this governing body concept because they believe it works. It works in that it makes the whole worldwide congregation unified. And so they asked me, you know, how else can you have a worldwide organization that is unified? And, you know, to be honest, I kind of grant that. You know, you'd have to have some type of leadership, whether it's a single person or it's a group. You have to have some type of leadership that tells everyone what to do and what to believe. It's like, think about your job. You need a CEO. You need a leadership group to tell everyone what the policies are. So to some degree, I actually agree with that in that, yeah, sure, I guess it works. I mean, it's conformity, but it works. And so I don't think she really got that. And I think that's the case with a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, that they hold to this concept of a governing body, not because they can find all these examples in the scriptures about a governing body. They can find maybe one or two in the book of Acts, but my goodness, go to Paul's letters. You won't find anything remotely close to describing a governing body in Paul's letters or anywhere else. It's just not there. So, but by that time, I didn't want to press the issue too much farther because I just kind of have a personal policy to where when it's kind of the first discussion, I don't want to get too pressing. I really want to put a stone in their shoe, and I just don't want to seem too confrontational. I want to say a few things, ask a few probing questions so that maybe the next time we meet, we can get into more depth because I really want them to think through what we talked about as opposed to me asking 100 questions and they forget everything we talked about. I really wanted them to digest to something specific. Well, now when it came to the topic of 1919, they had almost nothing. It was mainly historical. They were just scrambling to try to find answers, and they found some stuff about what happened historically in 1919, but nothing about actual scriptures to support that view. So anyway, what happened after that discussion was interesting because almost everyone had left the parking lot. So some guy drives by and says to the guy, "Hey, can I speak with you?" And me and my friend are like, "Okay, this is really weird." This is weird. So the guy gets out of the car. He goes and he talks to this other guy for about maybe 5 minutes. So we're discussing now with this guy's wife a little bit further about the governing body in 1919. So the husband kind of gets back. He gets in the car. He seems obviously, what is it, maybe a little bit flustered. He just didn't seem like the same guy we were just talking to because he was really engaging and talkative and But now something just seemed really up. And now he's telling his wife, you know, hey, look, at, we got to go. We got to go. So me and my friend think that something is up. So basically, we wrap the conversation up. We shake their hands. It's nice talking to you. Thank you for your time. And they go. So maybe I'm looking too much into this, but I think that something is up here. And maybe some of you can agree with me. Maybe some of you who have been Jehovah's Witnesses before, maybe you've seen this kind of thing happen. So if you have some insights on this as to what exactly was going on here, like maybe they figured, maybe they Googled my name and they saw my website or they saw what I'm doing right here and right now and they got suspicious. And now they're trying to tell everyone, hey, this guy Mike, don't go into depth with him. Like, he's welcome to come, but don't engage with him. Maybe that's what's going on. I think that's what's going on, and maybe this is all some type of coincidence, but I think they're on to me. You know what? And that's really, really sad. If that's true, it's really, really sad. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness, If you're condoning this type of behavior, I think you should be ashamed of yourself, and you should be ashamed of your organization for pulling this type of behavior, because if you guys came to my church and you were asking people around me these difficult questions about our beliefs, I would say, please do, bring it on. I would love it if you came to my church and you started asking everyone difficult questions about what we believed. I would welcome it. I would be thrilled if you came to my church and you listened to what we're saying and you took our literature, our books, or whatever we're passed. I would be ecstatic if you did that. But when I come to your church, I accept your literature, and I listen to what your speakers are saying, and I have questions. I think you should be thrilled about that. You should be thrilled, and I think you should be engaging with my questions, and you should be inviting me back. You should be wanting to talk to me afterwards. That's what I think should be going on, but instead, you're going around, and you're telling people not to engage me and my friend. If that's true, and I will be the first to apologize to you right now if I'm wrong about all of that. And I hope I am wrong, because, I think it would just be a real shame if that's what's going on in your congregation. You should be completely ashamed of yourself if that's the kind of behavior that you pull. So I hope that's not what's going on, but I think it is. So anyway, that was my experience at the Kingdom Hall today, and it's an unfortunate thing that this was happening, because I really wanted to have some really productive and engaging conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So what I'm probably going to do is start going to a different time and to see maybe if this sort of thing starts happening again. And I don't know, maybe it won't happen again, and I hope it doesn't. But leave your comments, leave your thoughts. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong about all of this, and maybe it was a total coincidence. So that was my experience, and I hope you have some perspective. And maybe if you're not a Jehovah's Witness and you go to a Kingdom Hall, maybe you can learn something from this, and that maybe you shouldn't be asking the types of questions that I'm asking about 1919 and 1914 and the governing body and all that kind of thing. So maybe this is more of a conversation about tactics and how to engage at a Kingdom Hall. So I hope you enjoyed it, and leave your thoughts, and thanks for listening. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.